We have been fellowshipping recently on the book of Proverbs. And we mentioned how in the book of Proverbs, there is a verse which says, wisdom has built her house, and she has hewn out seven pillars. We take wisdom as our Lord Jesus Christ, and He is building His house, which is the church. As the Lord built His house, He built it with seven pillars. And these seven pillars represent sevenfold character of His that He desires to build into us. And with that, He builds His church. Now we have fellowship in the past four of these pillars. Righteousness, diligence, love, and lowliness. Now this morning we will go into the fifth pillar of wisdom, and it is graciousness. Graciousness. Now let's read a few verses. Proverbs 11:16. 箴言十一章十六节. Proverbs 11:16. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and the violent retain riches. 17:17. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but the cruel troubleth his own flesh. Verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. 14:21. He that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that is gracious to the afflicted, happy is he. Verse 31. He that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honoreth him is gracious to the needy. 15:4. Gentleness of tongue is a tree of life, but crookedness therein is a breaking of the spirit. 19:11. The discretion of a man maketh him slow to anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Verse 17. He that is gracious to the poor lendeth unto Jehovah, and what he hath bestowed will he repay unto him. Verse 22. The charm of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Chapter 20:28. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and he upholdeth his throne by mercy. 22:9. He that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, but he giveth, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We have read Thy word, and now we ask Thy Holy Spirit to break Thy word to us and to bless us. We pray that as thy word is spoken, that thy Holy Spirit will make it real in each of our lives, that there may be an increase of Christ in us, because thou art the living word. We do commit this time into thy hands and trust thee for thy working unto thy glory. Amen. There are various words used with more or less the same thought. Words such as gracious, kind, liberal, gentle. So we just group them together under the one pillar of graciousness. Now, brothers and sisters, our God is a God full of grace. He is a gracious God. You remember in the wilderness, the children of Israel, they sinned against God, and Moses went up to plead with God for the people. God forgave them, and then God told Moses to hew out two stones and to bring them to the mountain. God will write his law upon these two stones once again. So Moses went up to the mountain, and there God declared his name to Moses. And that is in Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. And there you'll find God declared himself as such: Jehovah, Jehovah God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy unto thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, and upon the third and the fourth generation. God declares himself as merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy unto thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. He is a most gracious God. And when the Lord Jesus came to this world, we find in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among men, full of grace and truth. Our God is very gracious. And because he is so gracious to us, he does require of us, who are his, to be gracious also. But we have to acknowledge that graciousness is simply not in man. One day Peter came to the Lord and said, Lord, is it enough for me to forgive my brother seven times? To Peter, that was an achievement. With such a quick temper, to forgive his brother seven times, it was something to himself. He was very proud of himself. So he came to the Lord and said, now is it enough? I had come to the end of my patience. I have done everything I could now with my brother. I should think that should be enough. But the Lord said, I didn't tell you seven times. I say 70 times seven. And the Lord used a parable to teach it. The Lord said there was a king. And he had his slaves, bond slaves. And one of his bond slaves owed him 10,000 talents. A talent is about $1,000. 10,000 talents is about $10 million. So the king called that bond slave to him and said, now you pay. If you do not pay, then I will sell you and your wife and your children and everything that you have. And the bond slave just begged him and said, now, king, be patient with me. I will pay. Give me time. Of course, he couldn't pay. And the king knew. But the king was full of compassion. So when he saw that man crying for mercy, he forgave all his debts and let him go. And this forgiven slave, as he walked out of the palace, he met a fellow slave that owed him 100 denarii. A denarii is about 20 cents. In other words, his fellow slave owed him $20. And he took hold of him, slit his throat, and said, pay. And his fellow slave begged him and said, give me time, I will do it, but give me time. He said, no, you have to pay right away. And because he couldn't pay, he put him to jail. And when the king heard of that, he called the bond slave and said, I have forgiven you much. Should you not forgive your fellow man? And he was put in prison. God is so gracious. So he expects us, who are his, to be gracious also. Otherwise, we will not be like him. What characterizes him ought to characterize us. But dear brothers and sisters, we have to say, grace is something we do not know. Graciousness is not our trait. You can go back even to the Garden of Eden. And you remember after man sinned, God asked man, why do you do it? What is it that thou hast done? And you remember Adam began to say, now it is the woman. The woman that you have given to me. There was no graciousness in Adam. Man became selfish after sin. Self-preservation becomes an essential instinct to protect himself. He puts the blame on the woman. He has lost. He hasn't known what graciousness was. Dear brothers and sisters, in fallen man, there is no knowledge of grace. We do not know what grace is. There is no trait of graciousness in a fallen nature. There is none. The Lord is gracious. So after we have believed in the Lord Jesus, he has given his life to us. And the very life in us has the nature of graciousness. We who have this life has this nature, new nature of graciousness within us. It needs to be lived out. It needs to be developed so that it will also become a character of us. What is grace? Grace has at least in it three elements. Number one, grace is something that is within a person which causes pleasure, delight, satisfaction to people who are in touch with that person. In other words, grace in the first place is something within a person. There is something within that person that will draw out beauty, delight, satisfaction. Whoever comes in contact with, just like you look at a beautiful picture. When you see a beautiful picture, it gives you a certain pleasure and delight within you. But you must know that the cause, the source of that delight within you is in that picture. There is something there that gives you such pleasure and delight. Now that is the first element of grace. The second element of grace is because that person is full of grace. He is full of beauty. Full of that which will draw out, will give you a sense of delight and pleasure and satisfaction. Therefore, the second thing, and he gives to you freely and universally. That's grace. It is not something that is given and requires a payment. It is something that is given freely and universally. And number three, when that grace is given so freely and universally, it produces in the recipient a heart of thankfulness, and also it imparts to that recipient a disposition of being gracious. It reproduces itself in the person that has received grace. So, brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus, He is grace. You remember in John chapter 1, it says, the law is given by Moses, but grace subsists in Christ. And out of His fullness we receive grace upon grace. The law is given by Moses. Now actually Moses is the channel. The law is given through Moses to us by God. But grace subsists in Christ. The word subsists means it has its beginning. It commences in Christ. And it has its continued existence in Christ. Before Christ came into this world, there was no such thing as grace upon the earth. Grace was unknown upon the earth. But when Christ came into this world, He brought grace to this world. This is the first time the word ever knows what grace is. He begins it, and not only begins it, but grace is continued in him. This is his fullness. This is the fullness of Christ. And out of that fullness, we receive grace upon grace. So, dear brothers and sisters, grace is not just something given. Grace, strictly speaking, is Christ himself. Christ himself is grace. And he gives grace. And when we receive grace, we ought to be as graceful and gracious as he is. But all we know before we have Christ, or the best we know is law. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That seems to be the highest we can ever arrive. We think we are righteous. If an eye is for an eye, a tooth is for a tooth. There is in us, the best that we can do in us naturally is try to keep the law. And the law only comes to that level of an eye for an eye. But grace requires we walk the second mile. That is something beyond us completely. Brothers and sisters, what is grace? What is graciousness? It is not something that you wait. It is something that you initiate. You do not wait to be gracious. You be gracious to start with. It is positive. It is not just passive. It is something that God wants us to give, to be gracious. What are the various expressions of being gracious? Number one, you'll find to forgive is an expression of being gracious. It is very difficult for us to forgive. Therefore, you find even in the English idiom, you have such idiom as, to err is human, to forgive divine. In other words, well, for human beings to forgive, that is impossible. For us to make mistakes, that's human. Everybody does. But to forgive, it has to be divine. And that's true. That's true. How can we forgive others? Unless we know how we are forgiven. A person who has never known how he is forgiven will never know how to forgive other people. All that he will be demand for righteousness. You know, we should demand righteousness on ourselves. But on others, we should be gracious. Now, all the time we turn this around. We are very righteous with other people, but we are most gracious to ourselves. Oh, we excuse ourselves all the time. Very gracious, very kind, very liberal. But with other people, we are very righteous. And we think, well, we'll just be righteous. Isn't that right? It is right. But where is grace? We ought to be righteous to ourselves. Don't be too gracious to yourself, excusing yourself all the time. You will become very careless, loose. There will be no character building. We have to be righteous with ourselves, even in small things. You know, sometimes we think, well, it's such a small thing, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter. We need to be righteous, strict with ourselves. But with other people, we need to learn to be gracious. Not that demanding, but try to forgive. If we do not forgive, our heart will become hardened. You know, it is when we forgive others, our heart is enlarged and is softened. Actually, when you forgive a person, you gain more than the person that is forgiven. Do not think that because you forgive, you lose something. Suppose he owes you a dollar, and you forgive him, you lose a dollar. But, brothers and sisters, your heart is expanded, is enlarged a little bit, and the gain of an enlarged heart, it cannot be measured by a dollar. But if you do not forgive, your heart is hardened. Therefore, the Lord said, if you do not forgive from your heart, the Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Why? Because your heart is hardened. Your heart is hardened. Brothers and sisters, as you read the New Testament, you'll find the spirit of forgiving is the spirit of Christ. How often you'll find in the Bible, He tells us how we need to forgive and forgive one another. Especially when we are together as members one of another in the body of Christ. There needs lots of forgiving. Therefore, in the epistles you find of Paul, he always said, forgiving one another, forbearing and forgiving. Because otherwise, there is no way to keep the unity of the Spirit. There is no way of building up one another. Oh, how our Lord is gracious to us. We owe Him 10,000 talents, and He forgives us. How can we be so demanding with our brother and sister who may owe us only $20? Learn to forgive. Forgiving is an expression of being gracious. Another expression is kindness. Kindness. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, says, love suffers long and is kind. Love not only suffers long. In other words, someone may be treating you badly, and you suffer for it. You endure it. You take it. You do not fight back an eye for an eye. But you're willing to forbear. You're willing to endure. You're willing to suffer for it. Very good. That is love. It's not only just receiving passively with suffering. Love is also kind. In other words, you repay it with kindness. When people treat you evilly, you repay with good. That is kind. We cannot do that. Nobody can do that. If a person gave me an eye, and I do not eye him back, that's good enough. Usually I look back twice. But if I look back once, that's righteousness, according to law. If I do not look back, that is endurance, patience,
long-suffering.
But when people look at you with an evil eye and you smile back, that is kindness. You're willing to do something over and above. Our God is so kind. Judas was to betray our Lord. And even at the Last Supper, at the last Passover supper, the Lord dipped the bread in the vinegar and gave to Judas. And that was according to the Jewish custom at that time, the way they treated the honorable guest. And because of that, even though the Lord said, to whom I gave the bread, that will be the one to betray me. And the Lord gave it to Judas. But the disciples did not know that it was Judas that would betray him. Why? Because it was so opposite. That was a symbol of honorable guest. Kindness. That's kindness. Brothers and sisters, we ought to learn to be kind to one another. Not just to endure, but learn to be kind. Another expression of graciousness is liberality, generosity. We ought to be strict with ourselves, but be liberal with other people. We should be stingy with ourselves, but generous with others. And that is also an expression of graciousness. Another expression of graciousness is gentleness. And especially, a gentle tongue is the tree of life. You know, our tongue can be very biting, you know. Sharp tongue. And if we have a sharp tongue, we tend not to be gracious. We can, you know, hurt people with our tongue. And gentleness is shown especially in our tongue. These are the various expressions of being gracious. To be gracious. But brothers and sisters, how can we be gracious? We do not know what graciousness is. It is not in us. But thank God. The potential is already here with us. Before we know the Lord, grace is something unknown to us. The best we can achieve is the law. But now, having known the Lord, with His life in us, the potential is already here. It is not in you, but it is in Christ. And Christ is in you. And this life of Christ in you is none other but graciousness. God cannot be ungracious. Why? Because He is gracious. This is His very character. This is His very nature. The Christ who is in us, the life of Christ in us, is a gracious life. All we need is to let that life flow. Then we will be gracious. But brothers and sisters, the trouble is, whenever we hear that we ought to be gracious, now we start out to try to be gracious by ourselves. That's our trouble. And thus we put ourselves under the law, under bondage.
We try to be gracious, but we cannot. We cannot. And because we cannot do it, we are condemned. We are under the condemnation of the law. We are under bondage. But that is not the way God wants us to be. God says, you cannot be gracious. I know it. I'm not asking you to be gracious. I'm asking myself, who is in you, to be gracious. And that is the secret. Brothers and sisters, you may try. And I'm afraid we have to try before we learn. We know we ought to be gracious. Suppose a brother or sister treat us badly. We know that we should be gracious, but we cannot. And we struggle over it, and we try to be gracious. But even if you may outwardly appear to be gracious, inwardly it's another story. And you know it. Graciousness is simply not in you. No matter how you try, it is not there. And if it's not there, by trying, it won't produce it. But thank God, we have Christ in us. And Christ in us is gracious, full of grace. It is proven. When he was on earth, he had exhibited that graciousness fully to us. It has been tested and proved to be true. The potential is here. But how can that potential be brought out? Now, this is our problem. The process, if we may say so, the process of which the life of Christ, the gracious life of Christ in us, is to be lived out, is through death and resurrection. That's the process. It is the cross. There is no other way. Brothers and sisters, when we are faced with a situation, we cannot be gracious, and yet we should be gracious. When we are faced with such a situation, what should we do? We will be going through a process of dying. There within us we know we should be gracious, but we cannot. Sometimes it is manifested outwardly. Sometimes we manage to keep it within us. And yet, the truth is the same. We cannot be gracious. We cannot find graciousness within us. There is none there. And we cry to the Lord. Lord, it is not in me. I cannot do it. And you're going through a dying. What is death? What is dying? A sense of utter weakness. You go through a sense of utter weakness. That is very humiliating. Very humiliating. To acknowledge that you cannot do it. To acknowledge that you try, but you cannot. You go through a sense of dying. Until you come to a point and say, Lord, I am finished. I just cannot do it. Not only I cannot do it, I'm not going to try anymore. It is just useless to try. That sounds bad. But thank God. When you come to that point, you begin to give up yourself and say, Lord, I give up. But I give to you. And then you begin to look to the Lord and say, Lord, if you want me to be gracious, you have to be that grace. You have to do it. And I am just depending on you to do it. And as you cast yourself upon the Lord, you find He takes you up. To your surprise, you are able to be gracious. Now, which you cannot do before. But remember, it is not you. It is Christ in you who is gracious to people. And because of that, there is nothing you can boast of. After you have been gracious, say, you have been gracious to people, you think, now I am very gracious. No, you cannot be proud of it. Why? Because it is not you. It is Christ. You have to give the glory to Christ. And if you're so foolish as to think, now you have graciousness, all right, very soon you will have a test. And you'll find it is not in you. It is not in you. And brothers and sisters, it is only through that painful process of death and resurrection that this new nature of graciousness in you began to develop, until after a continuous development it will become a character. It is not something that will be done in a day. No. It takes time to develop that nature. It takes time to deny the old. Deny yourself. Take up the cross. In the beginning, to be gracious is painful. To be gracious means that you have to lose something. To be gracious is losing your life, your self-life. You're losing your life. But if you continue to deny yourself, and take up your cross. This is your cross. You're looking for a cross? It's here. Why do you leave it and go out to find some cross to bear? It is here. Take up your cross and follow the Lord. But as you learn to follow the Lord, gradually you find to be gracious is not loss, it is gain. Oh, you do not know how much it does to you. It enlarges your heart. It gives you joy. It gives you peace. It gives you life. It gives you health. It is a good medicine to be gracious. So, dear brothers and sisters, this is another pillar that the Lord wants to build within us. Again, let me say, no one is naturally gracious. Do not think that you are more gracious than other people. Not at all. No. It has to come from God. It has to come from the work of the cross. It has to come by your continuous denying yourself. Take up your cross so that the life of Christ in you may be released. Oh, if by the grace of God we can be a gracious people, how good that would be. It is almost like Psalm 133 and said, behold, how good and how pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, how can you dwell together in unity? You have to be gracious to one another. And if we are gracious to one another, you will find the anointing of the Lord. You will find the refreshing dew from heaven. His life will spread and will be abundant. So, Lord, brother, sister, this is something that the Lord wants to work. Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee that Thou hast put within us a gracious life, a life full of grace. Oh, how we praise and thank Thee, Thou hast deposited this life in us. Thou hast given us this potential. We do thank Thee for that. And now, Lord, we do pray that by Thy Holy Spirit, Thou will lead us into this truth. We pray that Thou will enable us to see that this is not ourselves, but this is Christ. With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Oh, show us that without Thee we can do nothing, but with Thee all things are possible. So, Lord, just teach us how to let go ourselves and let Thee live out through us. Enable us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Thee. O Lord, we do desire that we may be characterized by graciousness, because Thou art gracious and merciful. Make us Thy people, indeed, truly Thy people. We just commit one another into Thy loving hand. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.